Welcome to the Genius Network Show. In this episode, you'll discover how to boost your brain power, learn faster, and more with Jim Quick. Jim is the founder of Quick Learning and a widely recognized expert in speed reading, memory improvement, brain performance, and accelerated learning. If you'd like access to the special resources and show notes for this episode, please visit geniusnetwork.com/26. That's geniusnetwork.com/26.
Okay, I'm here with my good friend Jim Quick, Quick Learning, and amongst other things, you are an expert in, speed reading, memory, accelerated learning, all kinds of interesting stuff. So for people who don't know who you are, people listening, we're actually recording this on Facebook Live also. So if we make that reference, those of you listening on the podcast will understand why. So who is Jim Quick and what do you do?
My name is Jim Quick with Quick Learning, and I help people learn quickly. Mm-hmm. The question I always get is about my last name. My last name really is Quick. I didn't change it to do what I do. With a name like Quick, you could say I was born, my life was pretty much planned out.
Right.
I had to be a runner back in school, which is a lot of pressure when it says Quick right on your shirt.
Were you a good runner?
I was a decent runner. Yeah. I have to be careful when I'm driving because the worst name to have be pulled over for speeding is like Quick on your driver's license because you're not going to talk your way out of that speeding ticket.
Right.
And I get to do my mission, my life's work the past 25 years, which is teaching people how to learn faster, read faster, remember faster. I think our biggest, the most powerful resource we have is between our ears, our brain. But the other one is like our time.
Right.
And you can always make more money, but you can't get more time back. And I feel like a lot of people waste a lot of time, especially entrepreneurs, doing things like processing information.
Right.
So, that's what I do. When I go on stage, I do these demonstrations. If people see me on YouTube or stuff, I memorize a room full of people's names or a list of 100 words or 100 numbers, forwards and backwards. But I always tell people, I don't do this to impress you. I do this to really express to you what's really possible. Because the truth is, every single person listening to this could also do it, regardless of their age or their background, their IQ, their gender, any of that. It's just that we aren't taught. If anything, right. We were taught a lie. We were taught a lie that somehow our potential, our intelligence, our memory is somehow fixed like our shoe size. And we've discovered more about the human brain in the past 20 years than the previous 2000 years. And what we found out is what we know is that we grossly underestimate its capabilities.
Yeah.
And the problem is school taught us what to learn, math, history, science, Spanish. But important subjects, but there were no classes on how to learn, how to think, how to solve problems, how to make good decisions, how to focus, concentrate, how to read faster, how to remember. I always thought back in school, they teach you 3 R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, but what about recall? What about remembering? What about retention?
Right.
And back in, Socrates says learning is remembering, that there is no learning without remembering. And I think it's important, especially for entrepreneurs who are here with us. I think memory, two of the most costly words in business are I forgot. I forgot to do it. I forgot that meeting. I forgot to bring it. I forgot what to say. I forgot that person's name, and I just think memory could really make money for entrepreneurs, that the faster you can learn, the faster you could earn. Because nowadays we don't live in a world of, brute strength. It's brain strength, right? You're not paid for your muscle power. You're paid for your mind power nowadays.
Well, I am. I'm actually, yes. I'm very, I'm very
skinny. You're getting really buff,
man. I'm kind of skinny actually right now. I've not been working out enough. No, well, okay. So going to retention, which I think is a very interesting thing. My buddy Ned Hollowell, the top ADD, ADHD psychiatrist in the world, I was talking with him about 5 days ago. And I don't know if I have the term right. Is it exobyte, the largest way of storing information? And I guess if you take all of the knowledge in human history, they estimate it was like 5 exobytes up until 1990. If you were to take every bit of information that have ever been created, books, like everything in human history, would be 5 exobytes.
Yeah.
And now what they're estimating is being produced every 2 days.
Yeah.
Is 2.5 exobytes.
I heard that from the chairman of Google, Eric Schmidt, said that the amount of information that's been created from the dawn of humanity to the year 2003, that amount of information, that amount of data is now created every 48 hours online. I mean, it's insane. It's like taking a sip of water out of a fire hose now. Because
right.
We live in this age of, Elon Musk, right? Like,
yeah.
you know, we live in an age of autonomous electric cars and spaceships that are going to Mars, but our vehicle of choice when it comes to learning is like horse and buggy. Right. You know, our education system didn't prepare us for the world. You know, if you're here listening to this and you're struggling, you feel like there's too much to read, too much to absorb, too much to keep up with, but not enough time. The truth is, it's not your fault. It's because we all grew up with a 20th century education that prepared us for a 20th century world, which at the turn of the century was what? Working on farms, factories, assembly lines, following very simple directions. It's all like one size cookie cutters fits all. I mean, even the education systems was assembly line, right? It's based around dates and like expiration dates and, you know, our ages and stuff. It was one size fits all. Sit quietly by yourself. Don't talk to your neighbor. But the world we live in is so different now. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everything can be outsourced to Asia and automated. So we need to be able to think differently now. And so, like they say, if Rip Van Winkle, you know, the guy that slept for decades, if he woke up today, the only thing he would recognize is our schools because it hasn't changed a lot. School is a great place to learn what to learn, but not necessarily how to learn. And I know this because a lot of people don't know that I grew up with really bad learning challenges. So at the age of 5, I had a head trauma, very bad accident, brain injury, and I couldn't understand things. Things would have to be repeated 4 or 5 times by teachers, and I would at the end just pretend I understood, but I didn't really understand. I had no focus to speak of, no memory. It took me 3.5 years to learn how to read longer than everybody else. And then eventually when I got to college, I wanted to start fresh and make my family proud, you know, because they immigrated here and worked really hard. But I still felt like I was failing everybody. And I, at that time, though, you and I haven't talked about this before, but I thought college would be a fresh start, and I actually did worse, and I was ready to quit. But a friend of mine said, "Hey, why don't you come home with me this weekend, visit my family, get some perspective before," because I didn't know how to tell my parents I was going to quit school because I was the oldest, right?
Right.
And I decided to go get some perspective. And when I did, the family was very, very well off, beautiful home. And the father is taking me around his property. And he asked me a very simple question before dinner. He said, "Jim, how's school?" And I was like, "Oh, that's the wrong question to ask me." I just start breaking down. I start crying. I'm like, "I don't know." I tell him the whole story about learning challenges. I'm ready to quit school. And he asked me a very interesting question, a question no one's ever asked me before. He said, "Jim, why are you in school? What do you want to be, do, have, share?" And I honestly, Joe, didn't have an answer because I've never asked that question before. And when I go to answer him, he pauses and he takes out of his back pocket like a journal, like the one you have there. And I always thought like 12-year-old girls carry diaries and stuff like that. But he tore out a couple of sheets and he made me write down like this bucket list. I didn't know it was a bucket list at the time. And when I was done, I thought I was done. I start folding it up to put it in my pocket, and he grabs it out of my hand and he starts looking at my dreams. And it messed with me something fierce to see another man like looking at my intimate fantasies and things I wanted to achieve. And when he was done, he goes like this. He's like, I have no idea what he's going to say. He says, "Jim, you are this close to everything on that list." And he took his index fingers and separated them about a foot apart. And I was like, "There's no way. Give me 10 lifetimes. I'm not going to crack that list." And then what he does, he goes like this. And he puts his index fingers to the side of my head, meaning like in between is like right. The key. And he takes me into his home, into a room I've never seen before. You'd love it. Never seen before. It was wall to wall, ceiling to floor, covered in books. Like, I've never been in a library in somebody's house before. And honestly, books for me were like phobia. Like, I've never finished a book cover to cover. I'm not a good reader. You know, it's kind of like people like going, it's like for people who are scared of snakes, going into a room full of like snakes. But what made it worse is he starts going shelf by shelf and starts handing me books. Like, that'd be equivalent to handing me like snakes.
How old were you?
18 years old. Okay. I was a freshman. And I started looking at the titles of these books, and there are these biographies of amazing men and women in history and some really early personal growth books. Like Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, Cybernetics, Napoleon Hill, all that kind of books. And he says, "Jim, I want you to read one of these books a week." And I'm like, "Are you crazy? Have you not been hearing this? I have learning challenges. I have all this schoolwork, midterms." And when I say schoolwork, he looked me right in the eyes and said, "Jim, don't let school get in the way of your education." And this was 25 years ago, right? And I was like, I didn't know that was a Mark Twain quote. And I was like, that makes sense, but still, I can't promise to read a book a week because I have too much work to do. And very smart man, he reaches into his back pocket and he takes out my bucket list, which he still has, and he starts reading it line for line out loud. And something about having, you know, meeting this complete stranger who's obviously very happy and successful and can say out loud, like, your dreams into the world.
Right.
And honestly, a lot of the things on that list were things I wanted to do for my parents that they would never, they could never afford or they would never do for themselves. So with that extra motivation and leverage, which is key to learning, like motivation is key. I agreed to read one book a week. And so now fast forward, I'm at school and I'm at my desk. I have a pile of books I have to read for school and a pile of books I promised to read that I want to read. And that puts me over the edge because how am I going to read all that? And so I don't eat. I don't sleep. I don't spend time with friends. I don't work out. I don't do anything that's good for myself. I just live in the library. And you know that's not sustainable, right? So I ended up actually passing out one evening. I fell down a flight of stairs. I hit my head again. I woke up 2 days later in the hospital and I was down. I thought I died. Like, this was the darkest time in my life. I was down to 117 pounds and I was hooked up to these IVs. I was malnourished. I thought, what happened? What am I going to do? There has to be a better way. When I had that thought, the nurse came in with a mug of tea and on it had a drawing of a really famous genius, the opposite of what I thought I was. It was Albert Einstein. And it said this, you've heard this, the same level of thinking that's created your problem won't solve your problem. And a new question, right? So questions are the answer. I thought, what's my problem? I'm like, I'm a really slow learner. I have a very slow brain. I was like, how do I think differently about it? Maybe I could learn how to learn. And I started studying neuros, like brain science. I wanted to solve this mystery of how my brain works so I could work my brain.
Right.
And I started to study speed reading, memory focus. 60 days into it, light switch went on and I started just to understand things and get better grades. And I've been fanatical just wanting, after having that revelation, I was like, why isn't this taught back in school? If, you know, if this is like the information age.
So when the light switch went on and you had this new lens of seeing the world or all of a sudden started to make sense, what the hell was the trigger?
Yeah.
I mean, was it just because you invested 2 months into it? Or
yeah,
was
it was a deep dive. It was 60 days deep into anything I get my hands on because I wanted to solve this riddle of like how my memory works so I could work my memory. So I started studying everything. And then light switch went on. I started to understand things for the first time. I started to have better focus, better concentration. I started to remember things that I was studying. Remember, like, have you ever read a page in a book and just forgot what you just read? And you go back and you reread it, you feel absent-minded, all those things. I was like fixing those things. And with my grades, as they started to get better, I couldn't help but like want to help other people do the same. And the reason why I'm here today, 25 years later, is because I started tutoring and one of my first students, she was a freshman in college. She read 30 books in 30 days. Can you imagine reading 30 books? And that's like, and I wanted to find out not how she did it, but why she did it. Cause I know how she did it. And I found out that her mother was dying of terminal cancer, was given 60 days to live, and the books she was reading were books to help save her mom's life because she was so desperate. And I find out six months later, I get a call from this young lady, and she's crying, and she's crying, and crying. And I find out they're tears of joy that her mother not only survived, but is really getting better. Doctors don't know how. They don't know why. They call it a miracle. But her mother attributes it 100% to the advice she got from her daughter who learned it from all these books.
Right.
And that's where I realized that if knowledge is power, then learning is your superpower. That if knowledge is power, learning is your superpower. And it's something that we all have an opportunity to be able to, a desire to be able to deserve also. So it's okay. Our birthright.
No, that's great. That's great. So if you happen to like this and you're watching Facebook Live, then, text every single person you know. Let's get off it. No, I'm kidding. So let's talk about then learning. Let's talk about how to do some of the things that you do. I mean, clearly you can touch on methodologies, hacks, processes and things. Some may require a lot of work. Others, I'd like to start with some fundamentals, those simple things that if people did these, they could read faster, they could retain more information. So wherever you want to start, you've been doing this for years.
Sure. I mean, we could go through just a series of just really kind of quick tips, like brain hacks, if you like.
You just had to call them
quick tips. I just clicked to KWIK tips. we do this. I just launched a podcast. So that's what it is. It's like 5 minutes of, like one quick tip.
You know what we should do? You should mention like all of them and then no one will have to listen to your podcast.
We should do that. At quickbrain.com. All right. So here's what the four keys to learn any subject or skill faster. So if you're listening to this, as you're listening to it, think about a subject or a skill that you'd like to really get into, like whether it's Mandarin or martial arts, music, whatever it happens to be, four elements to learn it faster. I think honestly, if there's one skill to master in the 21st century besides marketing, which is your superpower, many superpowers, it's the ability to learn faster. Because as we talked about, the world is evolving and is changing so fast. And that's our competitive advantage. How do you outlearn and how do you outthink everybody else?
Right.
Because today, knowledge is not only power, it's profit. And I don't mean just financial profit, that's obvious, but I mean all the treasures of our life.
Right.
And so here's four things to learn faster. Just remember FAST, F-A-S-T, F-A-S-T. And so the F in FAST, to learn any subject faster, is the first, the F stands for forget. Mm-hmm. And it sounds counterintuitive. You're like, Jim, you know, you're a memory expert. Why start with forgetting? And I'll say it like this. I'll say that a lot of people don't learn things faster because they feel like they already know the subject. And you must see this all the time with marketing. Like you're on stage or, you know, you're 25K group and such. And people could be sitting there thinking, oh, I've been in marketing for 40 years. What's this guy going to teach me? And when people feel like they know everything, they don't learn anything new.
Right.
So what I would suggest to learn something faster, the F stands for forget. Forget what you already know temporarily. Forget what you already know. Set aside what you already know about a subject, because it's cliche, but just like all cliches, there's a truth to it that your mind, it's like a parachute, right? It only works when it's opened. And a lot of people don't learn faster because they feel like they know sales, they know marketing, they know health. What are you going to teach me? Mm-hmm. And so it's just like the old adage with the wise man and the apprentice pouring the master is pouring the tea into the cup, and it starts to overflow and overflow. And eventually the apprentice says, you know, master, you got to stop because it's overflowing. And he's like, oh, apprentice, I'm glad you see that. You have to pour some out or be able to put some more in. And so empty your cup. The second thing I would say to forget that's very important that I think limits our ability to learn faster is situational things. So what'll happen is some people will not learn faster because they're not present, meaning that multitasking has been debunked. All the research is saying you cannot do two or more cognitive, you know, intensive skills or activities at once, right? Because they're switching costs. Whenever you switch over 5-20 minutes, get back in the flow and in that zone.
And have you found that to be true in your...
My experience, yeah. Even with my level of training, I can't be doing... I mean, you could do two, you know, one thoughtless thing or three thoughtless things and something that's like solved, do math questions and stuff like that. But not... Because every time you switch, you lose your momentum, and to regain your focus could be 20 minutes. So yeah, those people are multitasking are actually losing ground. But... My thing is, like, you can only pay attention to so many things, and a lot of people don't learn faster because they're paying attention to other things that don't matter in the present. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you use the metaphor, you know, George Miller from, you know, Princeton, Harvard said 7 ± 2 bits of information, that if you, for example, met 20 people at a networking event and left, you probably remember 7 ± 2. 7 - 2 = 5. 7 + 2 = 9. You probably remember 5 to 9 of them. Mm-hmm. Or if I give you a list of 30 things, you probably, you know, tested, you probably remember 5 to 9 of those list, you know, things on a list. It's what you can be aware of. Now, the recent research is saying maybe 4 things at tops. But so if you're here trying to listen to this podcast, for example, or you're at, you know, Genius Network, if you're thinking, part of your attention is thinking about the kids, and part of your attention is thinking about your clients, and part of it is thinking about some kind of marketing issue, that only leaves you, let's say, 25% to be fully present. And so you're not going to learn faster because you're only using 25% of your resources. And so I would say forget about situational things that are not urgent and important. The third thing I would say to forget about, and I'm not going to go deep in this, but is forget about your limitations. And what I mean by that is a lot of people don't learn something faster because they have a belief system or identity that says they can't.
Gotcha.
And I'm not saying it's easy to change beliefs, and there's plenty of tools, self-hypnosis and NLP and, you know, tapping and all these things. But I'm saying that people come to me all the time and say, oh, I have a horrible memory. I'm just too old, or I don't have the education. That the thing with beliefs is all behavior is belief driven. Hmm. All behavior is belief driven. That if you want to create a, you know, a result in marketing or business, or in your body, right? You have to do a behavior. But in order to do that behavior, you need a belief that enables that behavior. I remember that years ago, I was preparing to run a marathon, and I read one chapter of a book, and it was the psychology. And that's what I was really interested in, because I was kind of a trained runner, but this was on the psychology of running it. And it said this verbatim, because I'm a, you know, the memory expert. It said, your brain is like a supercomputer, and your self-talk is the program it will run. So if you tell yourself you're not good at remembering names, you will not remember the name of the next person you meet, because you program your supercomputer not to.
Hmm.
And a lot of people do that. Like they fight for their limitations. I'm too old. Alzheimer's runs in my family, whatever it is. But here's the thing. When you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. When you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. And the reason why you want to monitor your self-talk and stand guard to that, to your, the thoughts in your mind, you know, just like you would external things, is your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk. Your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk. So you want to keep it positive. Or add three simple letters at the end of something that's negative. You know, the word yet has been proven in the show. Like, oh, I don't have a good memory yet. You know, I'm not good at marketing yet. I don't have the body yet, right? So you add yet. So I would say forget about your current limitations because you don't know what you don't know. Because the recent science, I mean, science is telling us, like, you know this is the research, neurogenesis, neuroplasticity, that your brain can grow older, but you could actually grow better too. You know, neurogenesis is saying genesis is like birth, neuro like brain. You could create new brain cells the day you die. If you do things correctly, you could actually, neuroplasticity is saying your brain is like plastic and it's malleable in a very good way. That Einstein's brain wasn't necessarily bigger than everybody else's. In fact, it was smaller. It weighed actually less, but he had more connections in certain areas of his brain because he would do these thought experiments all the time. He's the one that said imagination is more powerful than knowledge. And he was a consummate entrepreneur in that he could take the invisible and make it visible. He would imagine himself sitting in a chair and looking at a clock and riding a beam of light. And what would that look like, you know, from that point of view? And luckily he had a left brain science and equations that he could put that to. But these thought experiments, actually every time in order to create neurogenesis, neuroplasticity, you need two things to grow a better brain, even as you grow older. You need novelty and you need nutrition. You need novelty, just like your body, right? You need novelty, you need stimulus. But then you got to feed those muscles with nutrition also as well. And so those are really important. So my point in bringing this up is your brain is like, it's like a muscle. It grows stronger with use, but it's use it or lose it. The two biggest dips people have in cognitive performance is upon graduation of school. Because some people associate learning just to their education. And then they're just, oh, I'm done learning. You know, right. I got it all. I got a degree or whatever. And the other big cognitive decline is when people retire. Because when people retire, often they retire their minds and their bodies aren't far off from that. So that was the F, forget. Forget what you know about the subject temporarily. Forget about anything that's urgent, important in your situational awareness. And then forget about temporarily your limitations. Because the truth is you don't know what you're capable of. Most people are fighting with limitations that they adopted when they're 5 years old from learned helplessness. Like, we all know the story about the elephant, like in the circus. You're like, why doesn't it just escape? It's only tied down by that small rope and with a stake in the ground. And the reason why is because it's been stuck with that rope and that stake since it was born. And in the first couple of days, in the first week, it would try to get sovereignty. It's like an entrepreneur. It wants its freedom, right?
Right.
But after a few days, it learned that it's helpless. Then even months later, when it's big and strong, you could pull down the whole circus tent. It doesn't, because in its mind, it's still imprisoned. Mm. And that's a learned helplessness. People say, well, what's that have to do with speed reading or memory? Because I'm not an elephant. Well, you know, like, what did we learn as a kid? When we couldn't read, when we couldn't buy, when we were told we weren't good enough, or whatever we picked up from our parents or such like that. So that's the F and forget.
Oh, you know, let me ask you a question, because you said all behavior is belief driven. And then you mentioned novelty and nutrition. I would like to think that so much of what's going on is biochemical, like, yeah. For instance, you know, hormone levels, or if you have a cold, or if you are eating sugar all the time, or jacked up on coffee, or intoxicated. I mean, there's a variety of things that mess with chemistry. What are some, I don't know if you've ever looked at foods that will kill your memory. What would you say about?
Yeah, I would say that. Here's the truth. One third of our memory, for example, is predetermined by genetics and biology. So one third. The research across the board said it comes out to about one third. Mm-hmm. That means two thirds is completely in our control, through lifestyle and such. And so there are about 10 things I would put in the, you know, 80-20 rule, right? Pareto's principle.
Right.
That 20% of the effort yields you 80% of the rewards. It's the same thing with your brain. There are about 10 things I would say fall within that 20% that will give you 80% of the rewards. And one of it is the environment, because mm-hmm. a clean environment is key mm-hmm. for good. And we could go over these 10 things.
No, let's do it. I think this is interesting.
So we could go through, you want to go through?
Yeah, let's go through the first. Fast.
Okay, let's go through fast, then we'll go through 10 keys for like having what I call a quick brain, like a fast, sharp, not frenzy, but a peaceful brain, because it's clear, it's clarity. Yeah. So the A in fast actually stands for active. And what I mean by that is, if you're listening to this and you feel overloaded, overwhelm, too much to learn, too little time, all of that, it's not your fault because you were trained since you've been a child to be passive. Passive learners, because 20th century education prepared us just to follow orders, which is the opposite of what entrepreneur is, right? You know, and so that's why I love talking to entrepreneurs, because they, you know, they take responsibility. They realize that for their business to grow, that they need to grow, and they invest in it also, you know, through your programs and such. So I would say is the A is you have to be opposite of passive. You have to be active. And that's not what's trained in traditional school systems. And what I mean by that is this. We don't learn by being lectured to. We just don't. We don't learn by consuming information. The brain learns best through creation, not consumption. The brain learns best not by consuming and pushing information in and being lectured to. The brain learns best by co-creation with others, especially socially. You know, that we're learning doesn't have to be so solo. It could be social. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend of our, mutual friend of ours, Dr. Mark Hyman. Right. And, you know, he's written 10 New York Times bestselling books. And he was saying that, Jim, part of people's habits, it's not their biological networks or even their neurological networks. It's their social networks. Mm. Like whether or not somebody smokes has little to do with their biological networks or neurological networks, but everything has to do with whether their friends smoke is going to have a greater impact on them. So I would say that, to be able to learn faster, you need to be active. And so how can you be more active in learning something as opposed to just hope sitting there and hoping something like registers? I mean, you could, for example, you could ask questions, right? And you could post questions, you could post on social media stuff, you could take notes, right? You can think about asking questions like, how am I going to use and apply this? There's all kinds of ways to be more active in your learning. Because here's the thing, you have to be responsible for one of the reasons why people are such slow learners is because they never take responsibility, just like much for their finances or their business, right. Because they're at the effect. And again, one of the reasons why I love your community is because entrepreneurs, first and foremost, because they value their freedom, take responsibility for where they are. Mm-hmm. This is the difference between, the fundamental difference in my mind is this. I use the framework of like the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer, if you look at the wall, a thermometer, what does it do? Its functionality is it reflects what the environment is giving it, right? It literally mirrors what the environment is giving it for a hot or cold, right? But the functionality of a thermostat is totally different. A thermostat sets a standard. It sets a goal. It sets a vision, right? And all what happens to the environment? The environment raises to meet that standard. And that's what I find entrepreneurs are. And that same kind of trait is I find is also genius learners, right? Genius learners are these fast learners. Independent of what vertical that they're in, they take responsibility for how they feel. They take responsibility for learning. Like it's their responsibility, not some lecturer or somebody on a podcast or someone on a stage that they know they have to do their part. Because here's the thing with active. What I tell people is this, learning is not a spectator sport. Learning is not a spectator sport. And so you need to be able to be active, roll up your sleeves and actually do it. And finally, the S and the T in FAST. The S in FAST stands for state. State. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, and you know, with, you know, your friends with Tony Robbins and all these amazing personal development trainers, is that all learning is state dependent. If you want to know what the key to memory is this, the key to long-term memory, if for those of the people who are listening, want to remember names and remember speech without notes, remember whatever they need to remember, PIN numbers, passcodes, you name it, languages, is that information combined with emotion becomes a long-term memory. Information combined with emotion becomes a long-term memory. And you know this because if you're listening to this, you know that there's a food or a song or a fragrance that brings you back decades, right? Yeah. As if you just experienced it. That's the emotion tied to the information that made it a long-term memory. That part of your middle brain, actually, the hippocampus, we're talking about processing emotions and long-term memories. So if that's the case, what's the emotion? Here's what blows my mind. What's the emotion? If information combined with emotion becomes a long-term memory, what's the emotion level that most people feel in school?
I mean,
on a scale of 0 to 10, like boredom.
Boredom, yeah.
And then it's dull, bored, and so zero, right? So
Trying to think, do they hate it or is it just boredom?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's totally checked out, right? And there's apathy and there's indifference. But information combined with zero boredom equals anytime times zero is what? Zero. So you wonder why we don't remember anything from school. If you were to quiz about, you know, these presidents or capitals of states or periodic table, whatever it happens to be, no one's going to do well on that test because the emotional state, the S in FAST, was zero. So zero times anything is zero. And that's the big challenge. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the magic question for everyone listening is who's in control of your state, right? Who controls our state on a day-to-day basis? And I would say that it's us, right? That it's us. We determine what it is. That even if we feel like on a scale of 0 to 10, it's a 4, we have control, autonomy over our feelings. And we could say, well, if we wanted it to be a 5 or 6 or 7, what would I need to do? Right. And so you could externally incentivize yourself, you know, or you could change your perception too, to give yourself meaning and reasons. And, you know, cause I always think that that's important also as well, is having motivation. Because here's the reason why. I always ask myself why. Remember like this young lady read 30 books in 30 days and I wanted to find out her why. It was like motivation, because motivation is important. It just is, because that's I think there's a success formula. I call it H cubed, H, three H's. That goes from your head to your heart to your hands, meaning that you could visualize things in your head, affirm things, that goals in your head, right? Visual, I'll do all this stuff. But if you're not acting with your hands, right, you're procrastinating or whatever, and you have approach avoidance, self-sabotage, usually what's missing is the second H, which is the heart. The heart, metaphorically, it's the emotion, the energy of motion. It's the fuel for the car that's going to get you to do what you need to do. But so many people are detached from this, right? We're doing SMART goals, right, that are specific and measurable, you know, attainable and realistic and time-bound. But what about the heart goals? Like, I'll do the whole process. But, like, how do you make them, like, healthy and enduring and alluring, right, and relevant? Like, a lot of stuff we learned in school, we didn't learn because it was like really well or retained because there was no application. Like, why are we learning sine, cosine, tangent of, like, where was that relevant in our life? Right. And then finally, the T in heart is truth. I went through it really fast. But it's just like, it's the difference between goal setting and goal getting. Right. And so going back to this state, you are in control of your state because you're a thermostat, not a thermometer. And what I say, when I'm talking about responsibility, this is the thing that I struggle with growing up, being an entrepreneur, is that I always thought growing up that, oh, I don't want to do this because I value my freedom and discipline. It was like a thing. Like, I don't want to be disciplined. But I realized that actually discipline gives me freedom. Isn't it? You're right. Because if you can't get yourself to do the things you need to do on a regular basis, then you don't have freedom, right? Then you're in prison all the time. So I think discipline is very important. But responsibility, when we're coming back to it, I got to introduce two of my I always talk about superheroes, and the reason why I talk about superheroes, they're so meaningful to me, is I mentioned that I couldn't read growing up as a kid. It took me 3-4 years. I taught myself to read by reading comic books late at night when my parents thought I was sleeping. And something about seeing the images of good versus evil and hope and one person can make a difference, it brought the words to life, and I learned how to read. So I love superheroes, right? I got to introduce two superheroes together. You know them both. Richard Branson and Stan Lee, right? Stan Lee, the creator, co-creator of Fantastic Four and X-Men Avengers. And I pick up Stan and I ask him, like, oh, you know, like, I was like, you created all these superheroes, amazing. Who's your favorite? And he says, Iron Man. I'm like, that's cool. He's like, who's your favorite, Jim? I said, Spider-Man. And without a pause, he goes, with great power comes great responsibility, right? And everybody knows it. Everyone listening to this knows it, but you don't even remember where you heard it, but it's in our DNA. And I was like, Stan, that's true. With great power comes great. When you have great power, you have great responsibility. And the opposite is also true. With great responsibility comes great power. That when we take responsibility, we have great power to make things better. And I think the most important thing to take responsibility for, besides our focus and our vision, is how we feel on a day-to-day basis. That we don't just wake up expecting to feel great or seeing what happens, that we set the thermostat up, and that's what it is. So my point in bringing up state is a lot of people are slow learners. When we're talking about learning faster, a lot of people are slow learners for a subject or a skill because they're not putting themselves in the right state. A lot of people also feel like they're in the state of boredom or they're in the state of whatever it is. You know, easy ways of changing your state, your physiology, you know, your breathing, your, you know, what you're saying to yourself, all could put you in a better state. But a lot of people, Stan is interesting because I think we just celebrated his 94th birthday. He is, he's interesting. He has two passions. He still comes to work Monday through Friday at 94. How awesome, because he loves storytelling. And his other passion is his wife, who's 1 year older. I mean, like,
oh my God, that is a trip.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Like, what a role model. But he's also, get this, he's such a fast learner and he's such a strong cognitive mind. And it's not chronological age. That's what I'm saying. It's not 94. It's like the age of like your mind and your heart. Because he can learn faster because he feels still young. Because children, you know, how fast can they learn a musical instrument? How fast can a child learn another language compared to an adult? And this is cool with Stan is that he's like the youngest, oldest person I know. Do you know what I mean? Because here's what I think people, there's a Rumi quote that says, because people feel like they know it and they're adult and they're so like, you know, this image of themselves being so clever. And Rumi says, sell your cleverness for bewilderment. Mm. Sell your cleverness for, when's the last time we felt bewildered about something or fascinated? But think about how kids like are going around. They just question everything. Everything is fascinating and wonderful and everything. So I would say control your state, because the state you're in is going to get linked to the information. And if you're in a crummy zero state, you're not going to remember it no matter what. Finally, the T in FAST stands for teach. So if you want to learn any subject or skill faster, learn with the intention to teach somebody else. And what I would say to that is this, is like, if you had to, like, we could go through the 10 keys, and I'll actually teach people how to memorize those 10 keys forwards and back to unlock your quick brain. But let's say you had to teach it Monday morning to a group of people, teach it. Would you pay attention differently? Would you focus differently? Would you ask different questions? Would you take notes differently? It's of course, because one of the best ways to learn something is by teaching it to somebody else, right? Because it gives you an intention point and you have to really make that information your own. Even when you teach it, you're not necessarily using the same words, you're using your own words because you own it. And I always tell people that when you teach something, you get to learn it twice. When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. So I would say one of the greatest ways to learn something faster.
When you say something twice, you get to say it twice.
That's true. Awesome. You get to hear it twice.
Well, here's the thing. And I that's one of the reasons I do a podcast too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fastest way to learn something is teach it to someone else. And I wanted to get really good at marketing. So not only did I start implementing and executing marketing, I started teaching other people about it. And if you were to take everything you're hearing here that you're finding useful and valuable and go teach it to someone else, it would just deepen the depth of what you're getting out of this.
Right. And what we're talking about is accelerating your learning is really, that's what it is. It's shortening the learning curve. Everyone knows to learn any subject or any skill, there's a learning curve there, but you could do it faster, turbocharge it, if you will, if you learn it with these four things. Forget what you already know about the subject, so you can be a sponge and learn everything else. Forget about situational things. Forget about your limitations. Be more active in the process, right? Take notes, ask questions. Don't just hope it's going to stick. Third thing is control your state. So elevate it to a 7, 8, 9. Be curious about things. Ask lots of questions, because that information is going to be tied to that emotion. And then finally, learn with the intention of teaching it to someone else. And like, that's why you're such a master. You've forgotten more about marketing than most people ever learn in their lifetime, in 10 lifetimes. Because you've been doing this for so long and you're teaching this, everything you're learning. Because isn't that why you learn something? You learn something, number one, for what it's going to do for you, but you learn it also for what it could help somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where it scales.
It's, exactly. I mean, I've been, you know, because I was a dead broke carpet cleaner living off credit cards, and I learned marketing because I needed to survive. Never would I have imagined getting into the process of learning it and then implementing it and applying it and getting results and then sharing those results and then charging people to learn how to do that stuff. And not only has it generated a couple $1 billion in revenue that I can track from, you know, my clients, just the countless tens of thousands of lives that are benefited from it. And it was all a strategic byproduct of going down the path in the first place. So it's really fascinating too. And you know, I think it's Bill Gates that has that quote where most people overestimate what they can do in a year, but underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And so there's a lot to be said about most people have heard it. If you want to be a world-class expert in anything, you know, study, you know, an hour a day for a year to be an expert. For 3 years, you'll be one of the top in the world, if not the top in the world, if you were to spend an hour a day on a particular subject or category.
And don't you find that's a common trait with all your genius net, like your everyone in your group, like that they subscribe to lifelong learning. They're always, they invest in themselves. They pay so they can pay attention. Mm-hmm. And they're always dedicating to learn because they know that's the difference. That's going to make the difference.
Oh, well, yeah, totally. One thing I've learned about people in Genius Network, because I know a lot of successful business people, but I know a lot of successful business people that always have to be the one who's the expert,
right?
But they don't really, they're learning. They got to a point that got them to a level of success. And if they're, you know, if they're arrogant or egotistical, which many are, they actually think they're the smartest person, and they truly cannot go to what you said, forget what they think they know. They cannot go to the beginner's mind. They can't open it up. They're just like, and I think it's interesting because someone that always keeps that beginner's mind, that's always willing to be a good student, they will surpass that person. Yeah. And I see it happen all the time. And it's, you know, like Dan Sullivan, who is the founder of Strategic Coach, one of my best friends. We do a podcast together called 10X Talk. Maybe I'll put this episode as a bonus episode on 10xtalk.com. And Dan has coached more successful entrepreneurs than anyone else in the world. He's now 70. How old is Dan? 72, 73 years old. He's one of my best friends. Guy's brilliant. And he is the best student. I mean, he shows up at Genius Network and he's totally coachable. And if there's anyone that has built the reputation of having coached more successful entrepreneurs than anyone in the world, it's that guy. But when he shows up, he is there to learn. He's a, and he's appreciative and he's grateful and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't try to impress everyone with how smart he is. And he is freaking smart. I mean, the guy is brilliant. And that's what I admire so much about him, is this, that total willingness. And it's surprising how many people are not that way.
Yeah.
And they're already smart though, but what they could be, I think is that much deeper. I wanted to ask you about one,
it is the comment on this, the common characteristics you and Dan share also, is that the best teachers are the best students.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just they're the ones that are always learning, because they know that's their advantage. That's their competitive advantage. So if you want to 10X your learning or 10X your brain, 10X your business, that's where it starts. Because you can only make good decisions based on the information you know. And the problem is somebody that feels like they know everything, like they may be really good at typing like this with two fingers, right? And then somebody could go and start like this and they could be very slow. But eventually, this person is using five times more resources. Mm-hmm. So they could apply five times less effort as the person that's stuck in a model. And that's the problem with businesses, right? They don't, you know, as the world, you know, you're great friends with Peter Diamandis and you know, Moore's Law, things are changing so rapidly. But then some industries don't change, right? And they're like, oh, no, like, you know, these DVDs are going to be around a long time or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just the world is changing so much. And, you know, people need to be able to sharpen up this, to be able to sharpen the saw.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people that are watching this don't realize, that have children, don't realize that it's possible that your children, unless they want to, may never drive a car. You know, because autonomous cars, you know, 10, 15 years from now, they may never drive. A lot of them may never handwrite, you know, in the way that we have handwritten. I mean, we, you know, the things that you see of like a microwave in your kitchen 10 years from now, maybe a 3D printer with printing out exact foods done.
And that's the thing, because so many people also, if your brain is like a muscle and it grows stronger with use, it's use it or lose it. But so many people, there's this new term, you love this, no, don't love this, but it's called digital dementia. Digital dementia is in healthcare. It's where we're outsourcing our brains to our smart devices, so we can't even remember basic information anymore because we're, you know, because this phone keeps all our phone numbers. Like, think about how many phone numbers you used to know. I'm not saying you want to memorize. I mean, you have incredible data, you know, like contact, you know, like list and stuff. But you don't want to memorize thousands of numbers. And nobody. It's convenient, but in a way, it's crippling. That if Dr. Daniel Amen, who is a mutual friend of ours, talks about that with GPS, that people are actually not getting early detection of dementia and brain aging challenges like Alzheimer's, because if you're waiting for a piece of technology to tell you when and where to turn, you're not realizing when you would normally have a mental lapse, and so you're not going to doctors to get it checked out.
Interesting.
So a lot of this thing they call digital amnesia, right? And plus, with everything that's online and social media, it's training us, and you know this with BJ Fogg's work and everything, it's like it's training us to be distracted. Right. We're getting our dopamine fixes every single time. Every time we get a like, a comment, and a share and all that stuff.
Give us a lot of likes right now.
Get that dopamine fix right now.
We need it.
So here's the thing is, it's training us for distraction. And, you know, and Dr. Hallowell would know that also. It's just like these devices are literally rewiring the way our brains are formed. But can you imagine these kids? Like, they're growing up on iPads and everything. And if you shut it off, I mean, they go in hysterics.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just so entranced to it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, so a couple of things I want to ask you about. One with environment, what sort of things have you learned, discovered, know about environments that are forced upon people? Like most people that are watching are not, you know, not in an oppressive state where they're being controlled. I mean, this is not being broadcast to North Korea right now, right?
Right.
And there's people that would be in prison or in the military where they're being put into a state out of regimen or out of force. What does that do to the brain? And I'm saying it in this way. If someone cannot function on their own, but they're put into a particular state where it's a controlled environment, but it leads to betterment, that could be a useful thing. For instance, I do a lot of work with, you know, the field of addiction, you know, and there a lot of rehab, the way it's done, is doesn't help. You know, it actually could make things worse. Some ways that interventions are done are brutal and frankly could be damaging. So I'm very much about a more compassionate approach for addiction. However, there are people that are out of control and put into the right sort of circumstances in a certain way. There's a period where forced upon in a way could actually lead to betterment. Mm-hmm. But there's others where just oppressed countries or, you know, people that are held beyond their will, mind control of cults. I mean, so how does that, you know, how does that affect things? Because right now, for the most part, I would imagine 99.99% of everyone watching this has free choice. It's up to them to do what they want to do. So what would be your thoughts?
So I would say that I would say two things. And then this will be two of the things that are key for the 10 keys or steps to unleashing your quick brain to be faster, smarter, thinker, if you will. But environment is definitely one of them. In order for people to make a change, and you and I have talked about addiction, and I don't know what the clinical definition people use, but basically maybe the working one we could use is something that's bad for you that you can't stop doing, right?
Yeah. It's anything that you have a compulsivity, a craving to do. It's doing something you don't want to do or that you do want to do and not being able to stop that has negative consequences. You know,
even being addicted to being busy.
Oh,
like entrepreneurs are very notable.
Workaholism. What you're talking about with electronics, there are people that will be watching this right now that literally cannot function left to their own devices in front of Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally, at night, they cannot put it down. There's a draw. Even if they're like, I need to go to sleep, they cannot put it down. And there, many things could give you that dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. And it could be sex, it could be gambling, it could be gaming. You know, I have a friend who has, you know, gaming. He was playing video games.
And each one has a different social stigma to it, right? Like, but it's the same structurally.
Yes. Chemical or behavior.
Yeah. I would say to make change, positive change, there's these logical levels of change. And I'm just going to rattle through what they are. But if people want to think about, as you're listening to this, think about a positive change that you want to make in your life. Either to stop doing something or to start doing something, right? Because fundamentally, that's probably the two things that would fall most in those categories. Mm-hmm. There's these logical levels of change, and I'm just going to go through this kind of quick, but one of the levels is identity, right? Your identity. A lot of people maybe won't improve their memory or read faster or whatever it is because they have an identity saying, I'm a forgetful person or I'm an old person, and that will keep them from doing something, making a change. Below that, you have that level, the logical level of beliefs and values. Beliefs, because that could keep you back. So think about if you're watching this, you're a coach or you're a leader, you're managing people, you're a parent, right? So if you want to instill a change in yourself or somebody else, number one, it could be an identity issue that people aren't changing because they see themselves as sort of, I am blank, right? Mm-hmm. They say that, you know, I am are the two most powerful words in the English language because whatever you put after it determines your destiny, right? Mm-hmm. I am. Number two, on the second level is this level of belief and values because some people, for example, won't remember names or they won't give a speech. They get very nervous because they have a belief saying, I'm not good at, you know, remembering names. They have a belief that says that.
Right.
Or a value that says, remembering names is not important to me. Mm-hmm. Right. So people won't change because either let's take remember names because we could all identify with it. And maybe we go through some quick tips on how to remember names, especially in business, because I'm going to tell you, like, one of the most important business etiquette networking skills is the ability to remember people's names. Because how are you going to care? How are you going to show someone you're going to care for their business, their future, their finances, their family, whatever you're selling them, your health, if you don't care enough just to remember them and the people important to them? But let's say I remember names. I am an old person. I can't remember names. I don't believe I can remember names. That's the second level. Or values. I don't think remembering names is important. Because if people don't believe, if they don't value the ability to remember names, they won't do it, right? I would say the third level is what we talk a lot about is capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. You need the skill set to be able to do that. So do you have the habit? Do you have the strategy on how to remember names or give a speech without notes or how to speed read a book a day or whatever? Capabilities, because you need that. And then after that is the level of behavior. And that's where most people are working on. Right, that level of behavior. But if people, you could work on someone's behavior, let's say you're coaching them to 10x their business, or let's say you're a parent trying to get your child to do something, you can work on that behavior level to clean the room. But if those other levels aren't fixed, then you're not going to get lasting, sustainable change, right? Because our identity is this, or belief is this, or whatever it is. So behavior. And I would say the final level, if this is like maybe a triangle, the final level, this logical level, and they teach this, I think, in NLP, also this model, the final level is environment. Environment. Because if that environment doesn't promote this behavior, then it's not going to help, right? So for example, if somebody wants to read faster, but they see themselves, I am a bad reader. I don't believe I could read faster. I don't value reading. I don't have the habit or capabilities of reading faster. Behavior is reading faster. Then why is the person not reading faster or practicing? Maybe the environment doesn't promote them to be able to read that. Maybe the lighting is bad, right? Maybe it's very toxic, mold, right? All the other environmental issues. Maybe there's blue light that keeps people, you know, all this other stuff, fluorescent lights, that affects their mind, if you will. Or maybe there's no books in their environment, right? Or maybe they're trying to read at the wrong time because part of environment. So if you look at this pyramid here, check this out. The identity level is the who, right? You know, there's five W's in age, right? So the identity is the who you are. Mm-hmm. The belief and the values is the why, right? Start with why. So what those, the values and the beliefs, and the capability level is the how. This is exactly step by step on how to do marketing or whatever it is. The behavior level, sales or whatever it happens to be, cold call, whatever the behavior is the what. And then the environmental level is the when and the where. Right? The when and the where. That's the environment that you're in. And so I would say, to answer your question, whether it's addiction or any kind of change that you want to stop or be able to start, you have to look at all those levels, because if just one of those levels is missing, you'll wonder why people self-sabotage, or you wonder why a behavior won't stick, or it does stick because that level is not being addressed. And to answer your question about toxic environments, of course, like, we live in a world right now where, like, toxic chemicals are everywhere, right? And every cleaning agent, you know, you have, you know, young girls who are developing faster because of different soaps and sulfates and all this kind of crazy stuff. But there's a huge impact on your brain. And so in the environment, I kind of focus on 10 keys for unlocking, you know, that quick brain of yours, because that's all in your control. And that's the good news about it. It's just this, I want to repeat it again, that one, if you're struggling in these areas of learning, one third of it is biological, genetic. So, you know, but like Rudy Tanzi and all the, our friends that do all this research on Alzheimer's and everything else, but two thirds again is in your control. And those are the 10 things, and environment is one of them, those 10 things. And I think that's
what other ones do you want?
All right. So really fast, I'll go through this rapid fire. So there are 10 elements in no particular order to unlock what I call your quick brain.
I'm just going to make sure you don't forget any of them.
Okay. Actually, I'll tell you the 10. I'll teach everybody who's listening how to memorize this. So imagine this, okay? So if you're listening to this and you're like, I really like to remember what I read, or I'd love to give a speech on these 10 things on Monday.
Jennifer Hoodie's joined us on Facebook.
Very cool. Hi, Jennifer.
She thinks she's cool.
She is cool. Here's the thing. So let's say you had to give a speech next Monday on the 10 keys for unlocking your quick, you know, fast super brain, right? And you're scared because you want to give a speech without notes, but you want to be able to memorize it, but you're, you know, how do you do that without rehearsing it over and over again and such? So I'm going to give you the 10 keys. Don't write it down. And then I'm going to give you an ancient code of memory. It's about 2,500 years old. One of the best tips on how to memorize a speech. I do this with actors and politicians all the time.
Oh, before we forget, I want to talk about who's the worst actor you've ever worked with and who's the best.
You're so funny.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that.
Okay, so the 10 keys for your quick brain. So this is going to be in the podcast. Quick Brain Podcast. Isn't that cool? KWIK Brain.
So. Look, you're trying to plug your podcast right now, aren't you? So it's KWIK Podcast. How the hell do people find your podcast?
Because we're coming at the hour, and I'm concerned we're going really long, because I really want to over-deliver, but I want to give people as much as possible. We're launching a podcast called Quick Brain, KWIK Brain, which you can find on iTunes.
Okay.
And it's just 5 minutes to a better brain.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes also.
Thanks, Joe. So here are the 10 keys that's going to make you a super genius. And I love the word genius because that's the level. That's the level of mastery.
Do you know what genius actually means?
I don't. I mean, it seems like it's like unbelievable success in certain areas of things. But for me, genius has always been functionally. It's been like pattern recognition. I noticed, like, whether it's the artists or entrepreneurs or marketers, they can see patterns other people don't know. And here's the thing is that, because they see the patterns, they could do the patterns, and it looks like magic to everybody else.
You know, and what a lot of people think of as genius is simply repetition.
Yeah.
It's redundancy. It's,
And here's the thing. A lot of people, when it comes to this level of genius, is geniuses love the fundamentals. Whereas like the newbie, the dabbler, they don't like to do the basic stuff, the foundational stuff.
Yeah. You know, there's a good point. And I'm partial to the word genius because I have Genius Network and I have Genius X, you know, which is a $100,000 person group that I started with a partner, Dean. And then I have Genius Recovery that we're getting ready to launch. We're going to take the greatest minds in the field of recovery, not just addiction recovery, but we'll look at pain and things that cause mental and physical anguish that people will be well served to recover from and curating the greatest genius level methodology. So anyway, going back to your 10 quick brain.
And I would suggest that people listening do not write this down. I'm going to go through them really fast. These are 10 ways to be able to supercharge your brain. Number one is a good diet. Mm-hmm. And I know we can't go deep in each of these. I do these in these episodes, but you know, there's certain, you are what you eat.
Well, right? And I'll tell you this. We have a lot of our mutual friends that I have done podcasts with.
Yeah.
If you just look at I Love Marketing or look online, Genius Network, you will find so many great interviews with people like, you know, Mark Hyman and, you know, Daniel Amen mm-hmm. and JJ Virgin and Peter Osborne and
Dave Asprey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So good diet. We know that you are what you eat, right? And so there's certain foods that fatigue you, that make you not be able to focus and everything else. And there's certain chart ones that improve your memory and your focus and everything. And the second thing I would say is what Dr. Daniel Amen says, killing ants, mm-hmm. automatic negative thoughts.
Yep.
Because what we talked about before, your self-talk is the program your computer will run. Mm-hmm. So you got to get rid of those negative ones. The third thing is exercise. There's certain physical here's the thing. This is clear. People who exercise on a more regular basis do better on cognitive tests, mental acuity, memory. Anything that's good for your heart is good for your head. And so that's absolutely a must. You need mm-hmm. to move. In fact, the brain evolved. A lot of people don't know this, but your brain actually evolved. Number one primary function was movement.
Hmm.
So movement is key. Here's what I tell people is this. As your body moves, your brain grooves. As your body moves, your brain grooves. Remember, I was talking about connections and neuroplasticity. As you move your body, it actually stimulates your brain. In fact, there was a study recently at Oxford University saying jugglers actually have bigger brains. That actually, by juggling and learning how to juggle, which anyone could do on YouTube, right, actually creates more white matter. And so as your body moves, your brain grooves, and brain gym and all these exercises you could do, cross laterals that help you get smarter. Fourth thing that you want for quick brain is brain nutrients, mm-hmm. right? You're not going to get everything from depending on your lifestyle, especially your traveling and everything else. You're not going to get all the nutrients you need. And again, listen to other podcasts with Dave Asprey and all the mm-hmm. biohacking, nootropics and everything. Number five, this is a big one. And you do this in spades. Positive peer group, right? That's your network, right? And so who you spend time with is who you become. That's obvious. And people talk about that with regards to you are the average of the five people you spend time with. You are also as smart as the average of five people you spend time with also.
So don't hang out with dipshits.
Right. And so who are you spending time with? And by the way, when I go through these 10, notice that nobody's going to argue with any of these 10. Everyone's going to say, yeah, absolutely, because it's intuitive. But a coach is not always tells you something new. It's calling you. What I would hope is when you're listening to this is which of these 10 are you neglecting, right? And so we're going to go through it, but positive peer group, are you being around people that encourage you, that educate you, that challenge you, that bring you to another level? Or are you around these energy vampires? I always tell people that people are like two kinds of people. There's batteries included and batteries not included. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that just kind of steal your energy because they don't have the batteries. Sixth thing, clean environment, huge. Clean environment is huge. And so I would say that your external world is a net reflection of your internal world. And everybody knows this. When you clean your desk or clean your laptop, what's on your desktop, don't you get more clarity and peace of mind inside also as well? So it's an inside out and an outside in process, clean environment. Also interesting actually though, if you want to make good decisions, you clean your environment and do that, be able to process things. Mm-hmm. But for creativity though, it's actually the opposite. Actually having a kind of a messy environment actually stimulates creativity. Mm. Number seven, this is a huge one is, sleep. And I want to thank you because I suffered from sleep apnea for years where I couldn't breathe. I used a CPAP and dental device 200 times a night. I would stop breathing for at least 10 seconds. So I would wake up suffocating every night, and it was horrible. I would sleep 2 hours a night for years. And you introduced me to Dr. Michael Bruce, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, America's sleep doctor. And so sleep is integral for everything. You know, when you don't sleep, you can't think, you can't have clarity, you can't focus on anything, and your memory is shot. Right. Period. Mm-hmm. And so memory, long-term memory, that's where you consolidate short to long-term memories when you sleep. Mm-hmm. Number eight, brain protection. And this is huge. Brain protection because like, again, Daniel, Dr. Amen talks about concussions and the NFL and all these issues. Protect your brain. So avoid these accidents, these extreme sports. If you can avoid it, wear a helmet, so on. Because your brain is incredibly resilient, but it's also fragile. You know this. And you know, like, through all the brain scans that Dr. Amen has done, 100,000 plus, it's, you know, when your brain is messed up, it creates all these issues, including suicide and depression and violence and everything. But it's a hardware issue. Number 9 and 10, ninth key to being a quick brain, if you will, is new learnings, right? You have to always challenge yourself in new learnings, because it's where you stretch. It's like your muscles, right? So new learnings. Also, by the way, another reason why you want to commit yourself to lifelong learning is this. There was it was on the cover of Time magazine. I don't know if people saw this, but it was it's called Super Nuns. The study that found, they wanted to find out how these nuns live 80, 90 and above in age. And they were healthy too and vibrant. And they found out half of it had to do with their faith and their emotional gratitude. Obviously, emotion plays a big role in it. But the other half had to do with, they were lifelong learners throughout their entire, this whole community. They were always doing deep discussions and conversations, mastermind, you name it. Finally, number 10. So it added years to their life and also life to their years. Number 10, this is a big one. This is the invisible thing that nobody realized that they were facing, is stress. Stress management is number 10. And we don't realize how much stress we're under. We're bombarded by digital EMF and toxicity, toxic chemical stress, emotional stress, like environmental stress, all the stress that's out there. And so I would say stress, when you're in a stressful state, you create cortisol, adrenaline, fight or flight, which is, if you need to fight or flight, but it's not good a state to be in if you need to study. It's not a good one if you need to prepare for a meeting. It's not good when you need a presentation in front of your investors and such like that. So what are you doing for stress management? So I rattle off these 10, and obviously you could do a podcast on any one of these subjects. But my point in bringing this up is, which one or two, or God forbid more than that, are you neglecting? Because you could do everything else and not sleep, and you're screwed.
Right.
Right? Because everyone wants to know the magic silver bullet. I'm saying just you do it all. Like, I'm not saying do it all like a corner, but I'm saying these 10 things, these are 10 things that self-care is key for entrepreneurs. So now that you have these 10, I'm going to give you one strategy. We finish with this one strategy on how to memorize these 10 things forwards and backwards. And it's, I teach CEOs and entrepreneurs how to give speeches without notes. This is one way of doing it. And so here's the thing. This is different than a strategy that would work with an actor to remember things verbatim, right? Verbatim is different because they need to, have dialogue and very specific verbiage. But this is for somebody who needs to give a speech, but they don't need to memorize it word for word. They just need to remember their key points, especially if somebody asks them a question halfway through and, you get distracted, you answer that question, you come back and you're like, oh, where was I? You know what I mean? And so this is a way of doing it. Now, this is a 2,500-year-old memory technique. Very simple. We'll do it together. You'll memorize it here, and then everyone listening to it, do it.
What if I fail?
Then we start over, man.
Okay. This is all about we're live, though. What are we going to do? We are live here, and
okay. So here's a technique. This is called the location method. Another way of what it's called is the memory palace. And I'll give you the quick 30-second backstory. It's attributed 2,500-year-old Greek orator named Simonides. He was giving a poetry reading. And when he was done, he left the building. Something really tragic happened. The building collapsed and killed everybody that was there, except for him. And he had the responsibility, because he, as a lone survivor, to come back and help family members identify their loved ones. And he was able to do it based on where they were sitting. And what we realize about human memory is we don't grow through our evolution, right? And to where we are through survival, we didn't need to remember words and spellings of words and numbers and everything else, like things we have to remember now. We needed to remember where things are, right? Think about your hunter-gatherer. Where's the clean water? Where's the good food? Where's the good soil? Where's the enemy tribe? Location was like everything for us. And so we started to store information in our locations. And so you could do it too. Simonides was able to remember where everyone was based on where they were sitting. And you could do it. Like if you were at a party or a dinner, whatever, a few days ago, you would remember, you close your eyes, where everyone was sitting around, right? And so he learned that we store memory there. So the memory technique that orators have used before teleprompters and printing presses and smart devices is they would take environments that they're very familiar with, like 10 places in their home, for example, or 10 places on their body, and they would put the 10 keys or the 10 ideas that they want to remember, the first thing in the first place, the second thing in the second place, the third thing in the third place. And if that languaging sounds familiar, like if you ever found yourself saying in the first place this, in the second place that, in the fourth, third place, that actual languaging came from that 2500 mm-hmm. memory technique. The memory technique has disappeared. We're bringing it back, you know, as one of the techniques, but the languaging is still there. And that's where it came from. And so let's do this. Take a deep breath and you exhale. And everyone who's listening, you could do it also as well. If it's safe, close your eyes if you're not driving or on a treadmill. Don't do that if you're operating heavy machinery. Breathe normally.
Live, I can't believe I'm doing this.
So what you want to do is you want to do this. You want to just imagine, actually, because everyone has different places, let's just go to my office. Let's imagine you get on a plane. You're going to Westchester, New York, which is a suburb of New York City, north of New York City, a suburbia. You land in Westchester Airport. Uber comes to pick you up. You're in the back seat. And I want you just to breathe normally and just imagine that I'm going to take 10 places in my office and we'll put the 10 keys, the first thing in the first place, second place, and second place. So the car picks you up. We go to this big glass building surrounded by trees. The first place is the parking lot. So what's the first place? You can say it out loud if you're listening to us. That's the active part of fast, right? So the first place is the what?
Parking lot.
Parking lot. And I want you to get out. And I want you to imagine when you get out of the parking lot, the first place, there's a good diet, a good brain diet waiting for you. And JJ Virgin and Dave Asprey, they're cooking like walnuts and blueberries and salmon, wild caught salmon and all this good stuff. Good brain diet, right? And we're using imagination because remember we said, Einstein said, imagination is more powerful than knowledge and kids learn through imagination. It's using more of your senses. So I want you to, after you're done with a good diet, I want you to walk over and there's a waterfall. It goes around the building, little moat around the building. So to cross it over, you cross this bridge. And so the second place is the bridge. What's the second place?
Bridge.
Bridge. And as you're crossing the bridge, the second thing you want to remember for a quick brain is killing ants. So I just want you to imagine you're stepping on lots of ants. Not that you would ever do it, but that's why it makes it memorable. You're just stomping on ants. Mm-hmm. Stomping on ants and see it, feel it. And if those of you are saying, oh, I can't imagine it, because that's the limitation you're fighting for, just imagine that you are imagining it. All right. So if you can't imagine it, imagine you are imagining it. And if you can't imagine imagining it, then imagine you're imagining it. Mm-hmm. All right, so you go into the third place, and the third place is the elevator. So you get into the elevator, and immediately the third key for a better brain is exercise. So I want you to imagine you're in the elevator, and you're doing deep exercise, yoga, CrossFit, whatever. You're in there with your friend, or Tony Horton or whoever, right? Yeah. And you're exercising in the elevator, right? You get out of the elevator, that's the third place, and immediately in front of you, the fourth place is the hallway. And as you're going through so what's the fourth place?
Hallway,
and you're going through the hallway, and I want you to imagine big brain vitamins are coming at you, rolling at you, like Donkey Kong barrels, right? And you're jumping over them like you're Lara Croft or Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones. You're jumping over brain vitamins, vitamin B, ginkgo biloba, you know, your omega-3s, right? Jumping all over the brain vitamins. You open the door to the office. Immediately to the left is the fifth place, is a closet. What's the fifth place?
Closet.
And you open the closet, and inside the closet are all your positive peer group. That's your mastermind. They're all happy and you're positive. Your positive friends are all in the closet. All right. You remember that?
Yeah. Yes. I get that one.
Yes. And then, the sixth place is you go to sixth place. You're halfway there and you're going to the receptionist. The receptionist is the sixth place. And I want you to see the receptionist there and notice that the receptionist is cleaning the environment to remind you of clean environment. And just, you know, as you are, the receptionist OCD cleaning everything perfectly, right? Cleaning everything perfectly. You know, waxing everything is like bleaching everything has a place, clean environment. Behind the receptionist is seventh place and it's the fish tank. What's the seventh place?
Fish tank.
And when it's to remind you, the fish tank, the seventh brain tip is sleep. So I want you to look at the fish tank, the tropical fish, and Nemo's in there, Dory's in there, but they're in their pajamas. They're sleeping. They're in the bunk beds. They're snoring. Everyone is sleeping there, right? In the seventh place in the fish tank. And then finally, 8, 9, 10, you go over to the door of the classroom. Let's say you're taking a speed reading class. The door is locked. What the eighth place is what? The door?
Locked.
Yeah, it's a locked door. And then you can't get in. So you put on your helmet and then you headbutt your way in. And so the helmet reminds you of brain protection, right? Brain mm-hmm. protection. And imagine splintering open. You're inside the classroom. Immediately up front is the ninth place, is the whiteboard. What's the ninth place?
Whiteboard.
And on the whiteboard is me. And I'm writing the words new learnings right there. It's to remind you of new learnings. Always learn new things, lifelong learning. And I'm writing in your favorite marker. So whatever your favorite marker is, that's what color it is. And then finally, the 10th place, I have all these bonsai trees there on the side. So the 10th place is bonsai tree. What is it?
Bonsai trees.
And I want you to imagine stress management. So whatever stress management is for you, so whatever it is, meditation or yoga or getting a massage, but put it on the bonsai trees. Mm. Everyone see that? Bonsai trees. You're getting a massage, stress management, great back rub on the bonsai trees. All right. So everyone open their eyes. And what I'd like you to do now is just now you're on stage. You're on you're giving a 10 minute talk at the Genius Network conference. It's going to be amazing. You have to give that 10 minute talk. You have to talk about the 10 keys for unlocking your superhero brain. And now you're on stage. Just walk through the office. What are the 10 keys? Number one, the first place was the what? The first place was the parking lot. You get out and see what was number one. What was that? What was waiting for you there? So that was the what? The good diet, right? So good number one is good diet. The second thing is, and I'm talking to everyone who's listening, go over to the second place. What's the second place? It's the bridge. And what are you doing on the bridge? Great. You're killing what? You're killing all these ants, yeah. Right? Killing ants. Mm-hmm. The third thing, you walk over, you go into the building, you get into the what? What's the third place? It's going up. It's the elevator. And you get into the elevator. And then what are you doing in the elevator? You're what?
Jumping over vitamins and stuff.
Your thing is exercise. Yeah. You're there with Tony Horton and P90Xing. Yeah. Yeah, so it reminds you of exercise. And then you get out of the elevator, the four places, you're jumping over all those brain vitamins. The fourth thing is brain vitamins. You go into the office, immediately to your left is the, you open up the what? Is the closet. Yeah. And then in the closet is who? Is who's in the closet? It's all your friends.
Ronald McDonald. No.
You're so funny. So that's so random. So you're your positive peer group in the closet. So that's number five. You go to the sixth place, which is the receptionist. And then what is the receptionist doing? They're just like cleaning everything, clean environment.
In an OCD sort of way.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Behind the receptionist is what's swimming in behind the receptionist?
The fish.
The fish. And what are they doing? And what are
they're in pajamas sleeping, which I was thinking about, like the, how many fish are in pajamas?
Right. And so they're sleeping. So that's number seven. Then you go over to the locked door and what do you do? You put on the helmet and then that you headbutt the door open, that reminds you of brain protection, wear your helmet. And then up in front of the classroom is the what? Is the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And then I'm writing the words, what? New learnings right there. So remind you of new learnings. And finally, on the side of the classroom are all these what? These plants. Bonsai trees. And what are you doing on the bonsai trees? You are getting a massage or having a glass of wine, whatever, stress management.
Bliss. And
you're all blissed
joy.
Out. You are all blissed out there. And that's to remind you of stress management. Those are the 10 keys for unlocking your superhero brain. And I bet you, we won't take the time, but for your listeners, I bet you they could do it backwards. They could go stress management, new learnings, brain protection, sleep, clean environment, and so on. So,
you know what's interesting, because this is like something going through that whole thing, because I'm sitting here.
We have a lot of loves here. Like, yeah, a lot of people are doing this.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. If you like that, okay, number 10, honk, Joe's nose, that should anchor it all for him. Now, the interesting thing, like when I'm sitting here, what you're talking about earlier, when we started about if you don't have your mind clear and you're thinking about multiple things, you're only giving so much brain power. And, because I've kind of, I've gone through things like that with you.
Yeah.
And what it shows me, like in the middle of thinking about Facebook Live, thinking about a podcast, thinking about this, like a certain level of my brain energy is being devoted to three different things right now, including your weird friend who's over here taking photos of us and everything. I'm totally kidding. It's, she's cool.
But it
actually shows it, you know, what I actually learned about that sort of thing is like, wow, you know, that's why not having distractions is critical. Very good.
Because so many people are addicted to distraction.
Oh, no, right? it's one of my biggest things.
Especially entrepreneurs, shiny objects.
Yeah, well, the number one thing I think to protect for an entrepreneur, I mean, there's emotional states like, you know, confidence and gratitude, but one thing to protect is your attention.
Yeah.
Because if your attention is not protected, you're freaking screwed. I mean, it just makes things harder. And I say that to everyone who has that's an entrepreneur, that is running a company, that's doing anything that whose income and progress in life is based on your ability to produce a result, meaning you're not just showing up, but you have to like achieve something. Everyone's being pulled in different directions. The key is how do you set your life up in order to minimize that, which is pretty much what you described. So last thing I want to talk to you about, and then anything you recommend for people to go deeper with is your podcast, all that. Overwhelm. If someone's in a state of overwhelm and they're finding it hard to focus, and they're like going, wow, this is great, but I've got kids, I've got, pressures, I am, in debt, or I've got so many opportunities I don't know what to choose on, or I, you know, I want to live my passion, but my passions are like 4 million of them, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
So what do you do with mental, what is overwhelm? Okay. Is overwhelm a belief? Is overwhelm a reality? What is overwhelm?
I think it's both those things. And here's the thing with overwhelm. I mean, part of it is you can only be overwhelmed to the degree that you set expectations, right? Because if you're overwhelmed, you have to reconcile the things that you want with reality, right? And so if people feel overwhelmed, first of all, it's an environmental issue. So we could go through the different logical levels, right? A lot of people, they really are overwhelmed because they're being inundated with thousands of emails and texts because they haven't set up their environment. They're not protective of their time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know you, in terms of productivity with what you do with Dan Sullivan, everything, it's to be in this state of calm, more of a calm where you can move forward and be powerful and productive so you can win more each day, that would be the goal. So I would say that if you feel like you're overwhelmed and first of all, entrepreneurs have to say no a whole lot more, right? You have your to-do list and you have your not to-do list. Your not to-do list is things like not checking email or your phone the first hour of the day. It's not, you know, it's everything is heck yes or heck no.
Right.
It's if you don't feel that. So that filter system up front is nice. Just like with your email to get email box zero and everything, having systems in place. So I think systems, you know, could go a long way with preventing and reducing overwhelm. But it's part of the environment. I would say that if you're forgetting things because you feel overwhelmed, you can't keep track of things, there's three things. This actually goes with memory also. And so there are three keys, really fast things that would actually keep you from overwhelm or at least more focused. And I just call it MOM, M-O-M. Very, very simple. I use acronyms just because they're sweet. We grew up with them. Remember the Holmes or Roy G. Biv and the L? And remember like the Great Lakes? H is Huron, O is Ontario, M is Michigan, E is Erie, S is Superior. So remember MOM, all right? So if you feel overwhelmed or you're having a memory lapses for something, the M is this. Let's say people are overwhelmed with too many names to remember, right? You're at the next Genius Network, a conference, and you're meeting so many people, you feel overwhelmed, right? What I would say is, let's say you have trouble remembering people's names, but let's say Joe has $250,000 cash for you. If you just remember the name of the next stranger you meet, and it's all yours, for you or your favorite charity, right? Mm-hmm. Are you going to remember that person's name? Of course, everyone's going to, so nobody can remember names. 95% of the population says they're horrible at names. Joe's going to give you $250,000 cash if you just remember the name of the next stranger. Everyone's a memory expert. Right. So let me point this out. It had nothing to do with your potential or your capabilities. It had everything to do with your motivation. So the M, I would do a motivation check, right? What's your motive for action? And so when you're overwhelmed, a lot of people are overwhelmed because they don't have clarity of purpose. They don't know their why and what they're filtering through. So everything is coming in. No wonder you feel overwhelmed, right? Mm. And so I would say if you're overwhelmed with remembering names, just say motivation. Why? And I would ask yourself for remembering names. Why do you want to remember this person's name? I was doing a program. I was doing a program in Silicon Valley. And when I was done, Bill Gates, who I know, mm-hmm. Came up to me afterwards and we were talking about the future of education. And he was taking a technology standpoint. I was taking, you know, accelerated learning theory standpoint. And somebody who was listening asked a question, said, what's missing? Is it just learning theory and technology? Is that going to do it? And we were talking and we determined, no, there's a third factor. It's motivation, understanding human motivation. Like a lot of people know what to do, but they're not doing those things. And that's a big challenge. So understand your own motivation when it comes to remembering names. Ask yourself, why do you want to remember this person's name? Very, very simple. Train yourself to do it. Maybe it's to show the person respect. Maybe it's to make a new deal. Maybe it's to make a new friend. Maybe it's to practice these things that you learned on this podcast, right? So check in with motivation. Here's what you want to remember. Reasons reap results. Reasons reap results. You need a motivation. If you don't have a reason to learn something or to apply marketing or sales strategy, you won't do it. Right. So check in with your why. The O in MOM stands for observation. Observation. And what I mean by that is people come to me all the time saying, I'm overwhelmed. I can't pay attention to whatever this, but I have a horrible memory. I can't remember names, for example. And they blame their retention. It's not their retention. It's their attention. Mm. The O stands for observation in MOM. Observation. A lot of people, they're not forgetting the name. You're not hearing the name.
Right.
You're not hearing the name. And I could tell you the story I tell people is really simple. It's the second time I had an opportunity to meet President Clinton, Bill Clinton, he remembered my name and it blew my mind. I was just like, how do you remember my name? What memory technique are you doing? And he's like, Jim, I don't use any memory technique. He said, growing up in Arkansas, my grandfather got the kids around and would tell stories to all of us at night. And the one thing different, though, is he asked us questions to see if we were paying attention, every single one of us. And he trained me to be able to really pay attention. And I noticed that, you know, at these fundraisers and such, that there are a lot of people that are much more important than I was and I am in that room. But when he's talking to you, everyone knows he's got, you know, charisma, connector, communicator, great memory too. And I'm saying that maybe his incredible memory and his powerful presence he has with people, his incredible memory, his powerful presence comes from being powerfully present with people. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That when you're powerfully present, because most people, when they're meeting someone for the first time, they feel overwhelmed. So they're looking all around who's more important and everything else. And so they're not even paying attention to the person. So just being present, or if they're not distracted visually, they're distracted internally. Because you know what a lot of people do? They're not listening. Well, in my estimation, most people of the population is not listening when someone's talking. Mm-hmm. They are, it's like they're waiting their turn to talk. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
They're thinking about how they're going to respond. And if you're talking to yourself and you're having a conversation with you and you, and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody else, who are you going to pay attention to? So a lot of people, they're not remembering a name because they're not hearing the name because they're talking to themselves. Mm. And even if you write down the word listen or type out the word listen and you scramble the letters, what word does it also spell? It spells the word silent perfectly. Mm. So when you scramble listens, it spells silent. And I would just say to be more observant, like, and this is what I'm saying, Joe, it's like nothing sells like sincere interest, mm-hmm. right? Like caring. Mm-hmm. And just the memory training that we do, even in the podcast, because I go deep in the podcast for this, is it just trains you to be a better person. Like if you like, think about M-O, the last M, by the way, is mechanics. And these are the things that I teach. How to learn a language, how to read faster, how to, you know, like remember numbers and all client information, product information, sales scripts, speeches, all that stuff. Mechanics. But here's the thing. With motivation and observation, the art of memory is the art of caring, right? If you just cared about people, you're going to remember it, motivated, right? Mm-hmm. And the O is observation. It's just being present. And just think about it. Even as you're training this, it just trains you to be a better person. Like, it's training you to care about people and it's training you to be present with people. And if you care and you're just present with people, you're more likely to remember and not feel overwhelmed.
That is true. That is true. And see the last comment on Facebook Live so far that I can see there. Sorry, everyone, that I was listening to Jim here, so not commenting on everything, is Jennifer Hootie. It says two studs.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer, though, which one, if you had to just pick one, do you think is cooler? Goodness. Let's, if you could comment on that would be great. So let's see. One thing that I did not, actors. All right. So you've done all this work with all these actors. You're always posting pictures of you with all these famous people and the whole X-Men crew and all that sort of stuff. So what's the difference between celebrities and normal people in terms of their functionality? Now, here's the funny thing, because I've met a lot of famous people. And if you're with a famous person and the person is really boring, sometimes people think it's their fault. But there's a lot of famous actors that are boring as shit. And so there's, actors are very interesting and nobody feels all that comfortable around celebrities, even other celebrities. And so it's, they are, though, needing, you know, if you're going to act as an example, there's memorization, there's knowing your lines, and then there's all kinds of other different performers. So what, out of all of the people that you've worked with, which ones like really grasp it and take it on versus how many are just like, there's an arrogance because they're so damn famous? Because you've worked with a lot of very world famous, you know, people.
So I don't know. I mean, the Hollywood, that's a little bit new for me. I help actors speed read scripts, be focused on set, to be present and such, to memorize their lines. Obviously, you know, when they have so many scripts to be able to memorize, there's a lot of pressure that's there. I don't know that this, I know celebrity has a social currency and people go a little, see it in different ways. I would say one of the people who really embrace it because it's part of their lifestyle is Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And he was actually one of the individuals I was really excited to be able to work with on different projects because I get to learn a lot also. And he does this kind of stuff, just like Jim Carrey. You know, I went over to his home. We were making guacamole, talking about, you know, Dumb and Dumber and all the films that he was preparing for. And, you know, he had Eckhart Tolle there just like a couple weeks before. You know what I mean?
That'd be funny if you were there with Jim Carrey making guacamole with Eckhart Tolle.
That'd be a great Instagram photo.
Yeah.
But my thing is a lot of the people who are successful, whether it happens to be people that like Tony Hsieh or Elon Musk and those individuals, they're where they are because they subscribe to personal growth, right? Mm-hmm. They know for their craft to grow, their art to grow, their business to grow, that they need to grow. With Will Smith particularly, though, I definitely got as much value out of it as he did also, because I got to learn a lot. Like, one of the things he was filming a superhero film in Canada, and from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. they were filming for like 5 months straight. Wow. I mean, that's insane.
Literally all night.
Yeah, like all night. And he really walks his talk. Cause every time, like, I would ask him questions about, like, how do you do that? How do you just hurry up just to wait and be on at 6 p.m. or if it's 2 a.m. or whatever it is? And he's like, Jim, I don't have to get prepared. You know, I don't have to get ready. I stay ready. Mm-hmm. And because he lives like his art. The other thing that I noticed, I was like, you know, I think part of thinking is we asking all these questions of ourselves all the time based on what's important to him, wanted to find out like his dominant thoughts of things. And he's like, one of the things he's always focusing on is, how do I make this moment even more magical? He's actually, we elicited that through conversation. I was like, he asked himself all the time, like, how do I make this moment even more magical? And I noticed it because when I was visiting with him, we were doing trainings and such. He had his family from West Philly, you know, mm-hmm. like the song goes, visiting him also, you know, his family there. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, he was like, during his break, he was keeping them engaged at 4 o'clock. Cause they're so, you know, you'd be tired at 4 o'clock if you don't have that schedule, but he was making them laugh and getting them involved. And he really steps up. And so to answer your question, like, just like in any world, do you have, you know, peaks and valleys and people that you want to spend time with, and some are more dramatic than others. My thing is I want to study a lot of the outliers like you have. Mm-hmm. And I think that genius leaves clues, and I'm always looking. I think that there's always a method behind the magic, that when you see me memorize this stuff on stage and do that kind of stuff, I always tell people I'm not special, that you could do it too. That if you knew how I could do it, you could do it, because it's a recipe. Just like when people are geniuses at marketing, mm-hmm. that you could break it down from the outside. People are like, oh my goodness, how do they have that eight, you know, plus nine figure business and be able to do that? Well, they could break it down. And that's why I think like your mastermind, your conferences, your gathering are so invaluable, because it accumulates a lot of the stuff that we're talking about in terms of positive peer group and, you know, in a good environment and all of that. And then you wonder why, you know, because we're highly impressionable with the people we spend time, because that's what we are, the food we eat, the thoughts we think, and the people we spend time with. Mm-hmm. And you better choose wisely.
No, totally. Yeah, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. And also, you know, just kind of showing up and putting yourself into situations with the willingness to learn something, you're going to discover things. For instance, I mean, whoever would have, I'm going to press this here, whoever would have popped on just a kind of this thing popped on, not having any earthly idea what we were going to talk about, right, and have stayed with us for a period of time.
I love that, because I feel like, and if you're listening to this still, that you're a remarkable individual, that we're kindred spirits, that because you're, that's probably not coincidence that you're here, because you're dedicated yourself to challenging yourself, that going through struggle made you strong, going through challenge, you know, made you change in positive ways. But it's never, it's no magic pill, and there is this incredible process that we are all going through. But you have to be able to step up. My challenge for everyone that's listening is there's always another level. That no matter, you know, where you are right now, no matter how successful, because I know you have some mega successful clients that are listening, no matter how successful you are, there's always another level to go. And I'm saying that one of the most important levers that you can really move is between your ears, you know, called your brain, because it controls everything. It just doesn't come with an owner's manual. And you are faster, you're smarter, you're closer than you think.
Awesome. So your podcast, people want to listen to your podcast?
Yeah, we just launched a podcast, and it's for basically anyone who's interested in this kind of material, that want a better brain, that want to learn faster and achieve faster, but you're really busy. I made it every episode less than 10 minutes, and everyone just focuses on one brain booster that's easy, digestible. It's just me, and there's no guests there. Maybe we'll bring guests every so often, but it's just one idea on how to have focus, or how to read faster, how to remember a name, or just how to be more productive so you can be a better performer, so you can be more profitable in your life. And and I'm excited to do that. We come out a couple times a week. You go to Quick Brain, KWIK Brain. You could just search it on iTunes. And if you like it, I'm on a mission, because I grew up with learning challenges. For me, it's not about $1 billion, but 1 billion brains really lights me up. Because who knows, that if someone's listening to the podcast and they become the next Malala or Elon Musk or Joe Polish.
Could you imagine you could become me? Wow, that would be, what other motivation could another person
But it's all
that?
For people who just, you're either struggling right now and you want an edge, or you're really successful as it is and you just want to, you know, get to that next level and you'll be sharper, faster, make better decisions, think clearer. That's what it's all about. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And, if you are, here's one thing I actually discovered, because I think this is the first time I've done a Facebook Live recording of one of my podcasts. And I did my very first podcast in 2005. I mean, I'm one of the very first
people
to ever start. Yeah. And we started I Love Marketing in 2010. And, you know, we've got literally, you know, hundreds of episodes, you know, millions of downloads. And what I'd like to suggest is like start, I want to start doing more like this.
Yeah.
You know, cause we totally, we didn't even know if we were going to do this. We're like, screw it. We're, you know, and I've, you know, two office buildings, you know, that have studios in them, but this one we're using an iPhone and a mini recorder to record the thing in. And so, cause hey, you got to get shit done. And so, I'll put it on the Joe Polish fan page in the future. We'll record some of these. And for those of you listening, on Genius Network, we'll do that. I'll put show notes for things related to Jim. He also does conferences and stuff occasionally.
Yeah. If you could just, anyone has any questions, just tag me and post it, tag us both, and I'll answer them on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook at Jim Kwik, K-W-I-K. And, thank you for having me, and thank you for everybody, who's still here with us, because you're awesome. If you're listening to this still at the end after what 90 minutes or so, then
how long we've been going now?
You're one of the few who just, you do this stuff and you're just awesome. So you're already successful, because I think half of it is showing up. The other half is just playing full out and being active, because some, you can show up and not do anything. That's not going to do it.
Yeah.
So this is, I like winners here.
Chip Franks and Aaron Lewis. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey guys.
So go to geniusnetwork.com/subscribe, and that's where I'll have the show notes and everything for Jim once we post the episode for those of you watching on Facebook Live. And if you've not checked out that podcast, there's interviews there with, you know, Richard Branson and Tony Robbins and John Paul DeJoria, and the newest one I just did with our friend Stephen Kotler. Stealing Fire, which is amazing, and just all kinds of incredible stuff. And your Instagram is Jim Kwik?
Jim K-W-I-K.
Yeah.
You know, or look for us. We have a site called Memory Masterclass. Memory Masterclass, which is free memory training, and it's my best training. If you like this kind of stuff, it'll take you really far. So.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to decide this too, like the Instagram thing. Like I
should Joe be on Instagram?
Well, I'm on Instagram with Joe Polish, and I've made Harley. But I want everyone that's listening or watching to go and follow me on Instagram right now. I want to see if it makes even a dent of impact, because I have a friend who has 3 million followers on Instagram, and he said, "I'm going to teach you how to get millions of followers for your Genius Recovery once we launch the Genius Recovery Instagram thing." And so I'm like, so I might start paying attention to it. I mean, I have my back and forth sort of things on all the social media stuff. But thank you, Jim. As always, it is a pleasure spending time and talking about this stuff. And so now take what Jim just talked about and go and teach it to someone else. And I think it'll just allow you to get a lot more out of it. So have a great day. And thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode with Jim Kwik on Genius Network. If you would like access to the special resources and show notes for this episode, please visit geniusnetwork.com/26. That's geniusnetwork.com/26. If you would like to learn more about the Genius Network annual event, go to geniusnetworkevents.com. That's geniusnetworkevents.com. Don't miss out on more insights, strategies, and wisdom like this on geniusnetwork.com. Subscribe to Genius Network today by visiting geniusnetwork.com/subscribe. That's geniusnetwork.com/subscribe.